the rebirth we see happening all over downtown, many Las Vegans still believe anyone living close to the core of where it all began, in the heart of Sin City, at least closer than Summerlin or Green Valley, is by fault a child of Satan. And maybe I'm overstating that. I mean, to this day, though, you can still read fire and brimstone rants online about downtown and what an awful place it is. Or try this once. Visit a coffee shop or a bar out in the hustings somewhere. Ask someone about downtown. Most of the time, you'll get a response whose tone borders on pure, unadulterated condescension. Never been there. But guess what? People / Satan's children not only live downtown, they have the audacity and the sheer disrespect to God-fearing suburbanites to raise their kids there. How did it come to this? Who in anyone's name would ever raise a child in a house built before 1980? Can you imagine the horror of living in a neighborhood that doesn't enjoy the security of a gated entrance? Why, don't you have to keep your kids indoors all day, cover their eyes as they walk the streets full of hookers and drug dealers? And yet these parents do it. Well, you're thinking, of course they do. They have no choice. They can't afford to live out there in the Tony suburbs. Actually, you're about to find out that's not the case. You're about to find out that people who want to raise their kids downtown do it for a variety of reasons. I will say right off the bat, it's not because of the schools, but there are other benefits. From KUNV 91.5 FM, I'm Joe Shaneman, and this is the Joe Downtown Show. With me today are three parents who are raising their children, two per family, downtown, and they've been doing so for roughly 10 years. I'll talk to them about the experience, their fears, what they like about it, and why they ever decided to move here, then stay here after they had kids in the first place. First up is Jarrett Keene. You might recognize that name because he has written for almost every publication you can think of in the Las Vegas Valley. He's a bass guitar player. He earned a PhD in that very useful topic, poetry, from Florida State University, and his wife is a sociology professor at UNLV. They're raising two kids in downtown's John S. Park neighborhood. Welcome, Jarrett.
Hey, it's great to be here, Joe. Great to be here.
So, first of all, how long have you lived downtown?
12 years.
12 years. And you live sort of near Charleston, Franklin, Maryland Parkway?
Yep, on 9th Street right there behind the Walgreens on the Strip. It's a nice little area, nice little protected street because it's not a through street to Charleston. We got Park Paseo to protect us, and it's wonderful.
And how are the neighbors?
Oh, well, they're great. I mean, obviously, there are more than a few foreclosed upon empty abandoned homes in our block, but
there aren't that. I know your neighborhood. There aren't that many.
There's about a half dozen on my street, but it's good that most of the neighbors are older, and we've got a lot of artists who live around us. You know, Marty Walsh, who runs Trifecta Gallery. We've got Steve Spann, another noted artist. Steve Liguori, who I know you've written about, Joe. He's just a couple houses down. So it's a great cultural. A place to be. It's very how would I say this? There's a lot of families from who come from all over. We've got some Mexicans down the street, some Salvadorans, a couple of houses down. It's just
it's a good
cosmopolitan
mix. The ultimate melting pot.
I think so.
And didn't you have a dead body there once with a hand sticking out of the ground at one of the backyards?
Yeah, that wasn't technically on my street. That was one street over. But yeah, that was a nice Halloween surprise. That's a true story.
So I remember when you moved into that house. I've known you that long, and you didn't have kids. You know, you're sort of these bohemians. You had beads that with the image of Frida Kahlo.
Oh man, I was a 28-year-old badass liberal.
Yeah,
you know, I thought everything was going to be hunky dory. We were going to gentrify that area.
You were growing marijuana plants in the front yard.
Right. No, that wasn't marijuana. That was that was medicinal. Yes,
I'm joking. Anyways,
it wasn't marijuana.
I'm joking. You have glaucoma or something. But but then you had kids and you actually decided to stay there. You didn't have to, but I mean, was it a fearful idea to think about raising kids downtown?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. It's a gritty area, but, you know, it builds character, don't you think? I mean, I didn't want my kids to grow up in a safe, sanitized, suburban, environment. I mean, you know, that's so... how should I say it? It's just so common.
So what are your kids like out shaking down the other kids for money every day? Or what do you mean they're tough?
Well, no. They probably get shook down, but no, they're doing well. They love the area, and you got to think about it too. We've got all these. You know, all these good amenities. We've got the Children's Museum downtown. We have the Natural History Museum. We have the, the Shark Reef Aquarium in Mandalay Bay. You just hop on Industrial and Sinatra and you're right there. There's just so many good things about downtown Las Vegas that just, you know, everything's accessible when you're located in the core, when you're located in the center. When you're outside on the fringe, you know, it takes forever to get anywhere. But living downtown just makes everything easy. I walk to, I'm a music critic also here in Las Vegas. I walk to the beauty bar at night, you know, to cover my beat. There's no point in even driving, you know. I wouldn't have driven here except that I have to have another engagement looming. But, it's very walkable down here. We love it.
You should say, let's talk, your engagement is you're going to your kids' school to oversee them during lunches, which is you're like a house mom, kind of.
Yeah, I'm like Mr. Mom with a MacBook. So that's
no, I think that's awesome. I'm joking about it, but what about do your kids complain that they aren't? I don't know, what do kids complain about? They're not in a gated community where they can safely walk.
No, they don't care. They don't care about that. I mean, they'll probably hold it against me 10 years down the road, you know, when they have something to complain about. But no, they love it here. All their friends live in the neighborhood. A lot of professors and whatnot. Their children live here as well. We've got lots of great friends that live just a few houses down from us. The two people on this that you're going to speak to later on, they're neighbors of mine. So we all know each other. It's just a great tight-knit community, and we don't want it any other way. We want to know our neighbors. We want to be part of a community.
Now, you live a block down from a public school, but your kids don't go there.
That is correct. It's just one of those things where we wanted an emphasis. We just wanted a different emphasis, you know. We did a tour of the John S. Park School, and let me tell you, the principal there is wonderful. She's a wonderful person. The kids look great. A lot of the kids are neighbors of ours, and it's just a good school. It's just the emphasis there was, English reading skills, and that's fine, but we wanted something maybe a little different. We wanted a broader emphasis, so we decided to send our kids to a school down the road called First Good Shepherd Lutheran School, and it's a wonderful place. They read the Bible, they read about the stories, and it's just a cool thing. You know, I happen to teach the Bible at College of Southern Nevada in a class called Ancient Literature. So to me, you know, it provided a kind of connection between me and my sons, you know, studying an ancient text like that. So it was just something that was important to my wife and I.
How old are your kids?
7 and 5.
So you and your kids are going through ancient Sumerian texts and translating
Not
them?
Not Sumerian, just the stories that are, you know, you'd find in the Old Testament, Genesis, Cain and Abel.
What are they speaking, Greek and Latin? Ark.
No, they're not quite there yet, but that's the ultimate idea. That's the end goal. It's hopefully by the time they're in their teens, they'll be speaking and reading in different
You're
languages.
All waiting for the rapture, I imagine.
The rapture? Yeah, mm-hmm. it's coming. The Tony Shea the Tony Shea rapture or the the biblical rapture? Yes, we're waiting
the
for
biblical
that.
Rapture.
I was trying to segue, but I failed.
Thanks for being
Is this
on
live
the,
by the way.
Show. That was awesome. I'm kidding. So it sounds like if there was any acclimation to be done, you've done it, and you're happy with where you're at.
We love it downtown, and like I said, a little grit, it builds character. You don't want to overprotect your children too much. You want to expose them to you can't just block it all out.
I think the point is there aren't as many crack Johns in your area anymore, are there, as when you first moved there?
Well, I hope there's at least a few. We don't want it to be totally, otherwise we don't want downtown to resemble the outer areas, the fringes. We want downtown to have some a slight element of danger, but there's not as many for sure. The neighborhood has certainly improved, and that's why we decided to stay, is because of that, the fact that the value of our home continues to rise, the fact that these crack whores that you're talking about, they're now few and far between. It's just a much better, safer, more cultural place to exist if you're going to stick it out in Vegas.
All right. Jarrett, this has been an enlightening conversation. Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you.
This is kind of like speed dating. We're going to our next date subject. Elena Howe. Elena has two kids, two boys. She's a speech pathologist and is married to a city employee. Both she and her husband earn master's degrees at UNLV. Her dad is some kind of rocket scientist in Northern California, and she and her family live in the Huntridge neighborhood. Welcome, Elena.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on your show.
Hey, welcome. So you were here while Jarrett was talking, and I didn't see you frowning or shaking your head or anything, but you've lived there even longer downtown than Jarrett. You kind of live on the east side of Maryland Parkway. So you've been here, 14 years maybe?
Yeah, about 14 years. That's 14 right. Years.
And your kids are sixth and third grade or something?
Second and sixth.
So what's it like for them living downtown? And what's it like for you raising kids? Is it terrifying? I mean, I know you're a doting mom, so I just wonder what it's been like.
Well, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, living downtown is actually really traditional. I mean, the kids, you know, in the Huntridge neighborhood or John S. Park or Mayfair, you know, they live in single family houses. They have big yards. There are big trees. You know your neighbors. Unlike a lot of neighborhoods in Las Vegas, we actually know our neighbors. We know them pretty well. People aren't moving all the time, I would say, at least, you know, in terms of my friends. They've all been there for a while. You know, we see them often. They're my kids' best friends. They're my best friends. So we can walk to their houses. And in a lot of ways, you know, that really seems traditional to me.
Yeah, very small townish.
Yeah, it does. It seems very small townish.
Now, how do you think it might, I mean, years ago, your husband was talking about, like, he wanted to move. I haven't heard him speak that way in many, many years. But
right.
It was a constant, like, kind of gripe. But I wonder what it would be like. I mean, have you imagined, or can you imagine for me what you think it would be like to live in the suburbs in a gated community? How different it would be?
I think it would be different. I mean, for one, we'd be in the car a lot more. I mean, as it is right now, we barely drive. The school is within walking distance. You know, our friends are within walking distance. We can walk or ride our bikes to restaurants downtown. So I think one big thing would be, you know, you might be in the car for 2 hours a day, by, you know, between driving your kids back and forth. I don't think that's so unusual for a lot of kids in Las Vegas. But so that's, you know, one difference, I think.
And do you actually ride your bikes with your kids?
Yeah, we do. Almost every weekend, actually.
On the streets?
Yeah, on the streets. And, you know, now we have all these great bike lanes downtown. We've got bike racks. So it's, you know, pretty typical for us on a Saturday or Sunday to ride our bikes down to the MTO Cafe or Eat. Or, you know, my son's favorite is Dupar's. He loves the pancakes there. So
you actually take a bike down there?
Yeah, we do. We take the four of us take our bikes and we ride on the bike lanes. And
have you been cursed at by people in their cars?
No.
And shaking their fists?
No, not at all. It's actually people smile and wave at us. They seem to be happy to see, you know, a family riding their bikes around.
I wonder if you're the only one.
Well, I mean, I don't see a lot of families riding their bikes, but you know,
you'll be the sacrificial lamb to get it.
Hopefully not. But I mean, I would encourage people to do that. It's fun. I mean, actually, I do have a friend that, you know, her family rides their bikes too.
Now, I should mention here, you're riding your bikes, but your husband years ago also talked about building homes out of bales of hay and things like that. So he's a earthy, green guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's very green. I mean, I try to be green too, but, you know, he beats me. For sure. But yeah, I mean, he does it when the kids say something like, oh, you know, let's drive to go eat, you know, go somewhere for breakfast. He'll say, no, let's ride our bikes. And I you do see people downtown riding their bikes. I mean, you see people downtown walking. There are people walking on my street probably right now because, you know, people use this.
Oh, you mean sidewalks. You mean like the homeless and the door-to-door prostitutes that used to be in my neighborhood, kind of thing?
I mean, you know, that is there. I'm not saying that it's not. But you also see people, you know, walking maybe to work or walking, you know, to school. You actually do see a lot of that.
You honestly see people walking.
Yeah, you do. Oh, I have tons of people walking on our street.
Are there sidewalks?
Yeah, we have sidewalks. We have sidewalks on both sides of the street.
Because that's one thing we don't have in my neighborhood.
Oh,
and I live
right.
Downtown, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a lot of the older, really older neighborhoods don't have sidewalks.
Although, I don't know if you noticed, but they're actually putting them in a lot of the downtown areas, like the First Good Shepherd School and also the center. The neighborhood right there, I don't remember what it's called, but they're actually putting in sidewalks.
So you're pretty happy with it. With, I mean, when you had your kids, were you thinking initially about getting out of the neighborhood and getting someplace that you thought would be quote unquote safer?
You know, I don't think so. The first time that I saw the neighborhood was when I was at UNLV. I went to a party at a professor's house, and when I didn't even know that neighborhood existed. And I drove to her house. At the time, she lived on Franklin. And I just remember being like, wow, these houses are so cute. And they were like little cottages and they all look different. And so I just kind of became enamored with, you know, the fact that the houses look different and that you, the kinds of people that live there, you just really had a really kind of diverse, and I don't mean just in terms of, you know, ethnicity or race. I mean just interests and education level and socioeconomic level. There were just, it was just really diverse.
Socioeconomic. Why? I mean, is it... I'm joking, but do you think there's a high percentage of, I mean, this is an older neighborhood, so there are a lot of people who've lived here for very, very old generations of people, but also this sort of young, I mean, you're not a hipster, you're more of a Gen X, if you want to categorize yourself. Professorial types seem to want to live downtown. Do you understand? I mean, what is that? What's that all about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of why they want to live downtown is, you know, that they do want to be able to walk. They want to be able to know their neighbors. I mean, it's really different in that, you know, if you go out to Summerlin or Green Valley or Anthem and you're looking at, you know, your average family home there, you know, most of what you see, the main thing that you see in the front of a house is a garage. So people are driving into their garages, you know, they're going into their houses and they're kind of just living within there. I think downtown, something that is different is we mostly don't have garages. I mean, I know a few people with garages, but I don't have a garage. I don't think you have a garage, do you, Joe?
No, I have a drive-up covered thing.
Right. So you know, you can't just go hide in your house. I mean, you're going to drive up and people are going to see you walk out. You're going to be in your front yard. And so I think that is one thing that maybe does attract people from, you know, and I think the people that are moving in kind of see that. And maybe they like that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is all your kids have known. Do they know kids who live in the suburbs? I mean, do they ever go out? And
The kids at their school actually drive downtown every day to go to the school that they have nearby. So
do they ever talk about the differences? I mean, your kids are pretty, I would say, observant and aware.
Right. And my son that's 12, I mean, yeah, he does notice. And I mean, he, you know, whenever he goes to Summerlin or Green Valley, some, you know, he'll say a few things. He'll say, it's really clean here. So he does say that. And he will say, I don't see any homeless people. You know, he'll say that. But then he also says, hey, the houses all look the same. Why do the houses all look the same? And he's been in a few of the houses, you know, with friends and stuff. And he'll say, it's so weird there. The houses, the rooms are in different places, but everything else is the same. Like, they all have the same kitchen, and they all have the same bathroom, and they all have the same walls, like, you know, because the backyard walls are all the same. And so, you know, I think, you know, he notices that. And the other day, they were driving back from a field trip, and he said that, you know, the kids in his class kept pointing to different neighborhoods, you know, as they were driving on these main streets, like, you know, way out on West Charleston. And he was laughing because he was saying, look, they're pointing out there, but they're just pointing out to the desert. There's nothing there because there's so many empty lots and there are just no trees. And so he was just kind of like, wow, they live in the desert, just way out there. So I think, you know, he does realize that, you know, we have a lot of amenities here. He's had the same friends since he was born. You know, this last Halloween, I actually took a picture with him and two of his friends. We have actually spent every single Halloween together and trick-or-treated in the neighborhood for the last 12 years. So we put, you know, a picture of the three of them when they were infants, basically, in their little costumes. And now here they are, 12 and 13 years old, and they're still celebrating Halloween together, and they're still hanging out, and they're still each other's best friends.
Awesome. Elena, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Right. This is Joe Shaneman, and this is the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM. Today we're talking about parents who have the audacity to raise their kids in downtown Las Vegas. Our third parent is Billy Logan. Now, I met Billy more than 10 years ago, and if pushed, he would have to admit that I'm not only the reason he lives downtown, but probably the reason he even has kids. Now, get your minds out of the gutter. The reason for that is I sort of set him up with his future wife. This was a guy who was living in a garage and freelance picture taking for the Las Vegas Weekly when I met him. Now he's married to a well-known attorney and is the father of twin daughters, all of whom live in the John S. Park neighborhood. Welcome, Billy. So, Billy, I lived about a block, maybe two blocks down the same street from you for many years. And
in that Adobe.
In the Adobe. The only downtown Adobe.
One of the oldest houses there. Yeah. It has a basement.
The 10th oldest standing home in downtown Las Vegas at the time. Well, I don't know if it's 10th anymore. It might be 5th. But we had some interesting times back then. I remember us both chasing some taggers. A tagger one Sunday morning as I'm walking my kid in a stroller down. We're talking outside. And you had some problems with a neighbor. Who had an alcohol problem and guns, and then another neighbor who
and
was
pills.
And pills who may or may not have been connected to some gangs and got arrested.
That's two different neighbors.
Two different neighbors. Two different. But you've been, I mean, out of a lot of people I've known downtown with kids, you may have been through more than most parents.
I got the end of the stick.
What? But you're still there.
Right. My mom lives out in Ann Road and something out in Summerlin area.
Yeah.
And just two doors down from her, this guy picked up a guy, turned out to be a guy, picked up a person at a bar, and the person beat him to death in their living room with a toilet, back of a toilet.
Your point being, I think I know where you're going, but...
And they found a dead a skeleton in the park near my mom's house.
A dead skeleton? It wasn't one of those live clinky ones a xylophone in the background?
I was going for a dead person, but it was worse than a dead person. It was had rotted so far that it was mostly skeleton.
Your point is?
That it happens out there, too. It's a different... It's different, but you're not safe anywhere.
Now, is that your paranoia? You know, when I was talking about the things that had happened to you, a lot of that was like 10 years or more.
Right. Ago. It's getting better. The old guy across the street that had the pill problem and the gun that came to our door, he ended up moving. And then it was such a huge house, two-story, like 8 rooms in it. And we thought it was going to turn into a halfway house. And these yogis from California moved in there. And it's like, it's heaven now. We call it the International House of Yogis because these people come from Belgium and stay there and Italy. It's bizarre.
Very nice. And what about, we lived on the same street. I don't know if the door-to-door prostitute ever went to your house. She did go to my house one time. But what about condoms in the street and that kind of thing?
I've had one flung at me. There were people doing it in a pickup truck in our front yard, parked in front of the house.
Now, how long ago was this?
This was, granted, it was 10 years ago.
Sure. Are these, this is, as your children are infants or small, what do your kids think of the neighborhood now? I know one of them might have had an issue, was sort of terrified of one of your neighbors.
Another one of our neighbors, his mom's a meth dealer, and he's a meth addict and in a gang, and we'd had issues with them. The guy had pulled a gun on me and the girls when we were trying to get in the house, and one of them developed PTSD from it, and she wouldn't leave the house or leave me. But she's gotten better. It's taken 6 years, but she's turned out pretty normal. So
do they, or you and your wife talk about leaving, or are you settled there?
I'm settled. I'm making it my neighborhood. I love it. We like.
People are going to think I'm slipping a 20 to you or something.
No,
not that I.
You've done nothing but ill for me all my life.
I mean, you just described a lot of situations that I know listeners are going to be horrified about, and yet you're saying, I love it there. Mm-hmm. How can you say one thing about the situations and issues you've dealt with, and now you're saying that?
Because it's been getting better.
How can you tell?
The guy's in jail. The other guy died. He moved away and died. The yogis moved in. We have an artist living next door now. It's getting better and better.
I guess you're going to have to credit the downtown sort of rebirth for that, aren't you?
Some of it, the organic, natural part that was starting with professionals and other people moving down there, the first spark of the rebirth. But this, parts of the new one scare me. It starts turning into, I could have Stuccoville living out by my mom or live in a gated community or go to town square where they don't allow anything different. You have to be those people. And they're starting that. It seems to be this culture of exclusion. You have to be, I don't know how to explain it.
No, you've explained it well. Now, we're not actually on that topic, but I wanted you to, I know you had that feeling about it. So, but we're really talking about more about raising kids downtown. And you know our previous two parents, Elena and Jarrett. So your kids, I imagine, are friends with their kids. Right. And they know each other and they've
grown. We go to Halloween and stuff, and we had to skip a couple of years, but we'll go out to Halloween with them and Easter, and we see them on weekends, go hang out their houses. And
now, maybe that could happen in the suburbs. I don't know.
Yeah, it could, I'm sure, but we've been here for a decade. And there are neighborhoods like that where people go hang out, but there's something different. You're allowed to be different.
Yeah, I mean, you have an interesting yard, too.
Oh,
I don't think you could have that in a regular HOA. I mean, it's nice, right. But the stuff you've grown there, I haven't seen grown in other front yards.
I was trying to do the food, not lawns thing, where you actually grow...
food, not bombs. That's a riff on food, not bombs, right?
I think some hipsters in Portland started or something, but the idea that you actually cultivate food in your front yard instead of just ornamental plants.
Well, do your kids ever talk about the oddity of living downtown versus, I mean, they went to a private, like, preschool.
Right.
So they mingled with kids from the burbs. Mm-hmm. I mean, would they ever tell me about that?
They love it. They started going to Mabel Hogard Elementary School, which is a magnet school at Tonopah and Washington area. And we drive down Las Vegas Boulevard to get to school. It's, 3 miles away. And we'd see the people dressed up on Fremont Street. She said she saw Elvis kissing Pee Wee Herman one day, one of the daughters. And it's just bizarre stuff. They'll say, we're driving down the road, why do people want college girls delivered to their door? You know, I don't know. Maybe study.
Right, tutoring.
Tutoring
in the arcane sciences. Mm-hmm.
oldest sciences.
Out of the three parents I'm talking to today, your kids actually go to a public school.
Mm-hmm. They're right now going to K.O. Knutson Magnet School. We sent them to the day school, but it was not economically diverse or anything. It was, everybody looked like them, and it was it's kind of fascist. And it cost $9,000 a year or something. And if we continued sending them to a non-religious private school, it's, you know, $9,000 to $17,000 a year per kid, and it just seemed insane for something we didn't like.
Well, at the school you're sending them to now, is it the same issue that Elena talked or Jared talked about earlier, where a lot of it is focused on English as a second language and teaching them English? I mean, that would slow them down.
We ended up getting them into magnet school, so they don't allow the turnover. The transient issue isn't a problem here.
Okay, I understand. But, well, unfortunately, I'd like to get more into that, and maybe we'll do it at a future show. I think we're going to, but we got to wrap this up. Billy, thanks so much for being on. This has been the Joe Downtown Show. For producer Steve Zeller, I'm Joe Shaneman. Thanks for listening.